is now.
Capital 263.
What's up, good people? It's your boy Elliot Twist, and I'd like to welcome you all to my two cents. I am joined by a very, very special gentleman. A lot of people know him in the industry. He's the guy who managed MMT at some point. And you know, he's made quite a huge impact on the game, you know, on the hip hop game, as far as I'm concerned.
On the sidelines, you know.
Yeah. I am joined by none other than, I'm sure he'd like to introduce himself.
Drum roll, please.
Okay.
What's up? Well, yeah, it's been a few names in the industry, yeah. But H-Town's Finest at one stage.
Yeah,
and then Supremo is the most recent iteration of me.
Right.
Yeah, so most people just call me Primo, and yeah.
Oh, okay.
Artist What's the gov- management, events management, that whole thing. PR is what I'm doing now.
And what's the government name?
Government name is Tamuka. Tamuka Divine Chigeda.
There we go.
There you go. I really hate it when you have to do that. Like, can my brand name be my, what's your government name, Elliot
Twist? I cannot give you my government name.
You see, I think we need to start this again. Strike this off the record.
Absolutely not.
No. Anyway, it's all good. So what's up, fam?
Nothing much, man. I'm so glad you could make it, man.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. And yeah, finally, the really schedules glad. Aligned.
Exactly.
Although and I almost didn't make it, but...
Yeah. You know, traffic and all that. Traffic and all that.
Hey, you know what? You know, that entrepreneur hustle is a problem because...
Yeah.
There's so many moving parts.
Yeah, man.
And when you're still, like, trying to get your feet on the ground...
Yeah.
It's like you have to be everything.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to be in all the places at the same damn time.
That's true.
So,
That's true. The hustle.
The hustle is
real.
Yes.
The grind don't sleep.
Grind don't sleep, man. If you sleep, you're good.
Yeah.
If you sleep, you're good.
You got that Jay-Z money?
Hey, yeah. Then you can rest.
But you got that
the funny thing is when you get that Jay-Z money, you don't even want to sleep.
Yeah.
Cause now you're thinking, okay.
You're just so apt.
Well, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
You got so many options.
Yeah.
On how to spend it and how to make more.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw some, something about 50.
Yeah.
It was some motivational, thingy. I've been listening to a lot of those lately on YouTube. And this guy was like, when 50 did, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
He was doing like 18, 20 hour days.
Wow.
And because remember, he was acting and doing the soundtrack.
Yo, he was hungry, man.
Dude.
When 50 came out, he was so hungry.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah.
So this was the soundtrack for...
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah. And he was asked, he's like, yo, so 5th, like, you know, when do you sleep? When do you rest? He's like, yo, listen, right now, the way things are set up, I ain't got time to sleep. If you sleep, you're good. And I ain't good right now. Now imagine.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. And this is someone with what, 11 million?
Yeah, now.
That album.
Yeah.
The movie didn't do too bad either.
Yeah.
It's opening week.
Yeah.
But he was like, nah.
See, 50 is real smart.
I ain't sleeping. So yeah.
50 smart.
If those guys aren't sleeping, what the fuck are we doing? can I cuss? Shit.
You just did.
I did it again. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
So, it's been an interesting week, man. Job Razor made it into Forbes magazine.
Yes.
Yeah. And he had a word for the haters.
For the haters.
He always,
I'm listening loud and clear.
Yeah. You know,
talk to me, Ja.
you always gotta have a word or two for the haters. This is what he had to say. He says, straight from Uzumba to Forbes Africa magazine. It's all by God's grace. I'm not here to play. All those who wish to see my downfall should be really patient because God is not done with me yet.
All right.
Bam.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest, man. I don't like Ja Praise's music. I don't have single.
So he was talking to the both of us right there.
No, but wait. I'm not a hater though. Because if I was a hater, I would have been like, Ja Prayzer, why is he even in Forbes? Or he doesn't even deserve to be in Forbes. I mean, I'm sure there's something that they saw.
But here's how it goes down, though. It goes down the moment you have an opinion that is not popular.
Yeah.
You're a hater. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so
I'll take it. I'll be like, paint me with that brush. I'm that guy. It's fine. Whatever. All
right, fine. So,
but, you know.
You can paint me with that brush. I don't like his music, but I do respect his grind. I do respect his hustle. I do respect the fact that he came from Mzumba.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Murwana is a distance.
Yeah, man.
From Mzumba into Forbes Africa magazine.
Yeah.
Like, that is a giant leap, my guy.
No, I mean, look. Any person's journey, you'll find that there's a lot of naysayers along the route.
Yeah.
And the fact that he just blocked that out and ran his race.
Yo, and he's still running.
And he's still running.
And
no,
he's doing some amazing stuff that I personally would have never see him do. But
Forbes Africa, that's worthy of mention, but amazing.
Those collabos? You ain't feeling the collabos?
None of those collabos.
I'm not a fan. I feel like that he's managed to pull it off.
Hey, look, listen. Okay. Let's break it down. Industry talk. If you have the money, you could more or less get anyone you wanted on the track.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're dope, though. I'm just saying.
But if you got the money.
If you got the money,
what are people in the industry for? Really?
Exactly. Look,
being there for the money.
How many times have you heard the story about the dude who was, I mean, this is American context, but a guy who was on the corner.
Yeah.
Hustling bricks.
Yeah.
Just so he could get, I don't know, some lower level rapper on a track.
Yeah.
But those bars cost.
I mean, Eazy-E used to sold a couple of drugs to get NWA into the studio.
That's what I'm saying.
To record their first.
Most of these guys, that's their story. Yeah. I mean, over time, some of them get discredited with that. You didn't sell no drugs, but the point of it being that with enough money, you can buy influence, you can buy popularity. And I feel like music has turned a corner in this industry now, where people are just focused on getting paid. It's no longer integrity, is like it's lower down on that list, because back in the day you couldn't get 16s from AKA. He'd be like, who are you, fam? You're trying to ride on my success. But these days, if you can afford him, he will give you his 16.
He'll give you 16, 32s.
Yeah. He'll sing 64s. The hook. He'll do all of that.
He'll even tap dance in the video.
But don't expect him to push your track.
Oh, so that's how it works.
It's a business transaction. You paid for bars. You got the bars. Don't expect promo.
Done. Yeah. I'm
don't
done.
Expect promo, which in the context of Ja Prayzer.
Yeah.
And My Lily. Yeah. I don't know.
we saw that.
Just my two cents.
We saw that. We saw that.
Yeah.
Another issue moving along. 30-year-old minister in Botswana.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, Botswana is just doing some things right now. I mean, the president retired himself.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
Like he's like, you know what, guys? I've done my term of service. I'm good. And 30-year-old minister, hey, that's
are levels, bruh. I mean,
that's the trend right
those
now.
Those are levels. When are we gonna start seeing some 30-year-old ministers, man? I'd love to see an entire cabinet of 30-year-old ministers instead of a cabinet that has been in parliament for 30 years.
in our lifetime, I don't know, fam. I don't know. But like, look at it this way.
Yeah.
It's not unprecedented, though, because Kabila was president at 31.
Right.
Although he inherited the seat, but...
Yeah, you see how he's playing people now, right?
He is not letting that go anytime soon. Africa. No, you know what? Like, it seems to be a global trend.
Yeah,
I mean, Canada has the youngest cabinet in the world right now. Average age is like 35, 36.
Wow.
You know, wow. And the guy at the helm is like 31.
True.
Yeah.
He's 31?
Somewhere there.
Wow.
A French president?
He's so young. Oh, French, yeah. Yeah.
The French dude, president. He's also like mid-30s.
Yeah, some, yeah.
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 Seems to be a trend. I don't know how long it will last.
I feel that it's a trend we really need to catch on.
Well, in the Zim context, we actually need more people stepping up.
Exactly.
Because as much as we can talk about the trend needs to catch on, we actually need to change that trend.
I can't wait.
So are you running for MP now?
No.
Counselor?
No, absolutely not.
Politically, you're just not in that.
No.
Okay.
But I am supporting those
that do.
Yes.
Okay. No, so we're in the same
And I'm a registered voter.
So am I.
So it starts there. Yeah. I'm a registered voter.
I mean, just because Ndakanaiwa, Ndichidawo register.
Yes.
That in itself.
Yes. Means speaks volumes.
I must.
Yeah.
I must use my vote. Oh, wait. So 30 and female.
Yeah.
Breaking all the rules right
and
now.
And female. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
That's a big deal, man. And she is the Minister of Trade and Industry.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so she's the one signing off on this loan that we're supposed to be getting?
I guess so.
Because that is a trade-related loan, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, she's the one handling the investment, trade, and industry.
And one of our sekurus is going to go to her.
A 30-year-old.
And be like, Saka, honorable. Maria, Magazuchi.
Yeah.
I was side by.
Exactly.
Oh, snap.
You know how that goes, man.
Hey, dude.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, all too well.
All right.
Try pitching in a boardroom.
Hey,
you'll know.
These people start telling you about how you remind them of their children and all of that stuff.
Yeah, because my son also.
Exactly. There's always that one person. My son. Because my son. Yeah, but your son ain't here though. Your son ain't trying to get this money.
I got here on my own merit. Not because I'm someone's son.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along, man. There has been, I came across an article in the Sunday Mail that was talking about Haifa. Oh boy, do I have a bone to chew with Haifa. To chew with Haifa.
It's the same
thing. I want to highlight what Haifa has been like for me, right?
Yeah.
I remember being in my teens and trying to get a glimpse of Haifa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And well, my sister worked at one of these travel agencies and stuff, so she managed to get some tickets and we managed to go. First time, it was dope. I liked it. Second time.
Timeline. When was that?
Oh man, that was ways back. Way, way, way back, like when they started. But
okay,
my memory of that is still a bit fuzzy. The one I remember is the Haifa I attended when I was around 16.
Okay.
And all right, that was like what? All right, that was years ago. But
I'm gonna say
ages ago. But what really stood out for me was getting to see Angelique Kujo for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone another Jera Gona by his own Gidom Dara.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm seeing this woman on stage for the first time, right? This is in my opinion, this was the first big international act I had ever seen in my life. My hairs stood that I was literally just in another realm, Jamar. I was like, wow. My mind was completely blown. Fast forward, I'm doing my music thing, you know. My dream was to perform at Haifa.
Yeah.
And yeah, that happened. I managed to perform at Haifa. That was also dope. You know, I enjoyed my time there, but over time, I've been feeling like Haifa.
hold on, before you continue.
Yeah.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, we did get paid.
Were you happy with the paycheck?
Not really, but, you know, hungry artists, whatever.
Did they sell you the dream?
Yeah, they sold us the dream.
Okay.
We were cool. And we were cool with the dream.
Continue.
We were cool with the dream. We didn't make much of a profit off it.
Yeah.
We were cool with the dream. But over time, I just feel like Haifa has lost that magic, you know. I then attended it again, not as a performer, but just as an individual. I felt like it's lost its flair, like it's lost its soul, you know?
I think soul is a really good word there.
Yeah, yeah. It's lost its soul because Haifa for me was about selling an experience. You understand? Yeah. It wasn't just music. It was an experience. Being able to take me into a different space culturally, just...
Yeah, I was going to say it was a cultural melting pot,
yeah,
if you will. Because you got to see so many different people from so many different places. You got to travel the world without leaving Zim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that was Haifa's strong point.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward. Yo. How the mighty have fallen. It's not there anymore. I don't know what your take is on.
So I've got bones.
What do you feel like they're doing wrong?
You know what? Like, Haifa for me has been the biggest love-hate relationship I've had with the industry.
Yeah.
Simply because it was meant to be so much more.
Yeah.
For the artists.
Yeah.
I say this from the context of what they sold artists.
Yeah.
They sold exposure.
Yeah.
They sold visibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when you contextualize these things, okay, great. You've given me Coca-Cola Green with 400 odd people who probably I couldn't have gotten to come to my own show.
True.
But those 400 odd people aren't actually there for me.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying this is because in the program, all of these starving artists, as you so adequately put it,
yeah,
are at the back of the program.
Yeah.
They're not featured. They don't have a 10 line blurb with a picture. They've got like a,
yeah, a little strip.
A 2x2 centimeter, smaller than a passport photo.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Picture. And then two lines.
Yeah.
On page 60 or whatever of the program.
Yeah.
And so, and then they talk about, oh, we've got promoters and booking agents from all over the world who'll be attending.
Oh, yeah. I was sold that one.
You were sold that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. I had a 9-piece band, fam.
Yeah.
Before MMT, I was handling the Blazer Boys. So Mariachi Alchemy.
Yeah.
We did Haifa 2012, I believe.
Yeah.
9-piece band. We had two keyboards.
Yeah.
We had a sax.
Yeah.
We had 3 backing vocalists.
Yeah.
We had lead. We had bass. We had, the other guy was playing 2 instruments actually, but drums obviously, but with all of that,
yeah,
we walked away with $300 at the time. And for 9-piece band,
man,
that's like $40 a pop, maybe less.
Man.
And not a single, like all of the people who were there were asking us, but we don't see you in the program. Like, no, we're actually there. We just like right at the back. For real, for real.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So already for me, I feel like these guys were trying to justify us being there by selling us this dream.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I could even count on one hand the number of artists who actually actively benefited from participating at Haifa and got bookings.
And blew up.
And
afterwards.
And I'm not even talking like, because it shouldn't be genre specific, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many different people there
who
are trying to hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
we must have sold maybe 50 to 100 CDs after our performance.
Wow.
Right?
Amazing.
But there were no bookers, there's no promoters, nothing. And that was the end of it. So for me, Haifa is a bit of a con.
Yeah.
Right? And even from the sponsorship perspective, like
this,
this is
what I don't get. Haifa attracts so many sponsors, right?
Yes.
So many sponsors.
Yeah.
How then are they not able to pay artists? Because I was reading up on the article in the Sunday Mail, and it was talking about how Haifa has separated itself from Theater in the Park.
Yeah, Reps Theater.
They've cut all these connections they had had for a very long time.
Which are conduits for artists.
Exactly.
To get onto this platform.
And at the same time, here I was thinking, look, you are cutting off links with these institutions and groups that are supposed to be giving me that experience.
Exactly.
That you're supposed to give me.
Yeah.
So that you can give me what?
I have no idea.
So that you can give me what? And the other thing that I don't get about Haifa really is they've got such a big board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that when that board sits, they all get paid.
Of course. That is the nature of the beast. They get paid.
So what's going on?
Dude, like, let's... Sponsorship, right? Right now, sponsors aren't even interested in Haifa on that level. Because if you're telling me main stage at some stage was being charged for about 100K, maybe more.
Yeah.
Main stage.
Yeah.
100K.
Wow.
This is a 5-day event. So let's break it down and say 20K a day.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That sound rig, let's just say it's about 30 grand. So 2 days, that sound rig is paid for, but it's there for a week. Like, anyway, no matter how you break it down, it didn't make sense that, firstly, the local artists were getting shafted the way they were. It didn't make sense that the sort of artists they were bringing as well. And remember, these artists are being brought by embassies.
Yeah.
Haifa isn't paying these people.
Yeah.
So where's the money going? Exactly. Where's the money going?
Where's the money going?
These guys are, man, we could go to town on these guys, but I think that why they've lost it, apart from the break that they took, the hiatus they took, whatever, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think progressively they were just spent creatively.
Yeah.
Right? And also, they forgot that the bulk of their audience was always going to be the locals.
That's true.
So they priced us out of their market.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, a ticket, when they started, you could get a ticket for $2, $3.
Yo, Haifa is expensive, man.
Dog.
Like, Haifa is expensive. Like,
if I'm not getting freebies from somewhere,
Haifa is expensive, Shai. You have to think about the fam. Like,
yeah.
Think about it in terms of, yo, do I want my fam to eat tonight?
Yeah. So I really, really, really would, I really have to like you to spend money on that.
So here's the thing.
And this is a 5-day event, and I'm paying per event.
Event.
Other festivals, you get a 2-day pass, 5-day pass.
Yeah.
I'm paying per event. How does that make sense?
It don't make no damn sense.
For something that's so heavily sponsored as well.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
It does not make any sense. Listen.
So these are the reasons why you asked me a question. Why do you think they've fallen off? The cost factor.
They need to get that price right.
Yeah, get that price right. Get those.
Get that product right.
Yeah. You're telling me, oh, become a Haifa amigo and I get what, 3% discount on tickets?
3%?
And I still pay to be a Haifa amigo as well. None of it makes sense, dude.
Yeah.
And this is someone who's in the industry.
Yeah.
Who wants to be part of this experience.
Right.
What about someone who's just there because they like music, but they're not invested in that way? They're going to look at it and be like, ah, I can go to Shoya Ningina Ningina Ningi.
Exactly. And get a better experience.
And get a better experience than this.
I really think they need to trim that board, get new blood in.
Listen, young
freshly
blood.
Ground was hot way back when.
Yeah.
Yo, get, put your hand on the pulse, man. Put your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Try to find out what's hot. right? Give us new energy.
New energy.
Give us...
You know, the artists who thrive on festivals.
Yeah.
Like, that's their bread and butter. Because yeah. they like that atmosphere.
Yeah.
But you never see them at Haifa.
True.
And then you'll see them at Bushfire.
You see?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And I'm like, what? You see them at the big day out or whatever it's called. The is it Huawei in Joburg?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's so many artists who just skip across. And this isn't a festival that was rated as top three in Africa. Where are we now? I wonder.
Ooh, I don't think we're up there, bro.
Where are we
we're
now?
So not up there. And another thing, I think
Lake of Stars is like top five now.
Yeah. Right?
And it's maybe 5 years old, 6 years old.
Haifa's really old, man.
Guys.
Nah, we need, yeah. If you're listening, Haifa people, switch that game up, man.
No,
y'all need
like, to sit down, call some artists, call some young people.
Yes,
you know, we'll tell
young,
you.
You
we'll
desperately
you.
Need you young
know,
people.
Whoever it is
there.
Who chooses your act, you know, they need to sit down with people who actually know music.
We're connected.
Yes. And we can tell you, okay, this works,
this
doesn't.
Won't. Yeah. Exactly. I don't see how cutting ties
with the theater institution, an established, shout, Reps has been there since we were like grade school, dude.
It don't make no sense.
And like, oh no, we're not dealing with Reps anymore. We're not dealing with Theater in the Park anymore. So who are you dealing with? Anyway.
Moving on. We got a soundbite.
Yes, yes.
From Queen Latifah.
Oh yeah.
Talking about the new generation of rappers.
Okay.
Ignoring important issues. So we're gonna listen to that. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna hear your two cents about that.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Crickets, and it's my fault.
Uh-huh.
That's supposed to be used to speak about what you're seeing going on around you. And I feel like, you know, a lot of rappers, they lost their balls. They just don't have, you know, they got soft. Damn. They got soft. Like when things are going on in the world, like with Trump or elections or, you know, this was the stuff we chewed on. Like, you know, or how much heroin, people are addicted to heroin or, you know, that where's the flip side of the Molly Percocet? Okay, fine. Well, the flip side is that you missing out on life. You sleep, you know, you crash your car. I mean, I'm not judging either way. I'm just saying it's always good to have both those sides. You know, with us, it was crack. You know what I mean? Crack invaded us and it took our friends away because they was on that
destroy
crack. Family. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
man.
We didn't just talk about how fun it is to get coked up. We talked about how bad it is too. You know what I'm saying? Or HIV or different things that were happening. We spoke on that stuff. That's where you got the a Boogie Down Productions, or Eric B and Rakim, or Queen Latifah, various artists who would talk about what was going on both sides, you know, from many perspectives. And so, you know, we were connected to, we had the power to change people's minds about things going on in the world, not just whose ass is the fattest, dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we actually help stop, you know, apartheid in South Africa by getting people that divest in companies that were doing business over there. Okay, you want to, you know, sell Coca-Cola in South Africa? We not drinking that. Okay, oh shit, we not drinking that. Okay, we're going to have to divest. So they pulled their money out, you know, until they got it together. We do have that power, but we just don't use it like we should.
All right, that was Queen Latifah talking about how new school rappers are ignoring important issues. Now, earlier you mentioned something about integrity.
Yeah.
And how the game has lost integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, with regards to what Queen Latifah has just said, what is your take right now on the current wave?
Yeah, so hip-hop started out, like she said, as citizen activism, right?
Yeah.
In music form.
Yeah.
And they did it for the love, not for the money.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the early 90s, and then it was like, oh, you know, this could be a career. And then this is where you got the career switches from the drugs to hip hop.
Music, yeah.
but they were still relatable to their audience in the sense that they were still talking about issues that were happening in the projects.
Yeah.
Right. The noughties, the early noughties is where things just started getting a little pear-shaped because the bling factor came through.
Oh, yeah. And it was like a gradual.
Yeah. And then the endorsements started coming in.
Yep.
And hip hop is now a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
Right. So and everyone's looking at it is like, okay, where's the angle? How do I get paid? How do I get paid the most?
So does this explain the rise of Migos and
yes. And I think it does because as much as
all these non-lyrical.
Yeah. As cats. Much as these young cats want to say that, oh yeah, these guys are deep. Nah, fam. Like, what are they talking about?
They're not saying anything.
Percocet, Molly Percocet. Like, that's a whole hook. That's all he's saying. He's talking about drugs.
Yeah.
He's talking about lean. He's talking about weed. He's talking about whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think there's a fatal disconnect culturally. And I use the word culturally as a reference to hip hop.
Yeah.
And what it meant for the rest of us when we were coming up.
Yo, it meant a lot to us.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Hip hop now is now it's a fad, I think. Because if you look at it, you can track the fads as they've come and gone.
Yeah.
Right. By the artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there was the future influenced sound. That was, you know, and then it moved from there. It moved on to, what's his name? But anyway, everything is now a reiteration of stuff that's been done.
Yeah.
But with this modern twist, as they say.
Bringing it closer to home, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that we've experienced that kind of an impact?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we've experienced that kind of an impact?
Definitely. Yeah. I think we do because we are always on the back end.
Yeah.
There's very few innovative artists in the subcontinent, in the SADC region, in Africa in general. Like, there's very few guys who've actually come up with a new sound.
Yeah.
A new style.
Yeah.
It's always like, okay, he sounds like so-and-so. He sounds like so-and-so. And it's always referencing international acts. Because at some stage, the starving artist believes that he has to sound a certain way for him to make money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, our problem is that we are not taking ownership of what it is we do, which is something the Nigerians have done.
They figured it out.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
The Kenyans have done that too.
Yeah.
The South Africans are still figuring their shit out.
Yeah.
But they just have a very large captive audience and a functional record industry.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
But if you really break it down, you can count the artists that are actually innovating in a South African context. So the problem is that we are constantly trying to catch the next wave and ride it as artists, as consumers as well.
Yeah.
Right. The hottest trend in the States or in the UK is what we're going to be vibing to. Anything outside of that, you're looking at, you're like, what's that? I'm not spending my $9.99 on Apple Music for that. So
I was reading a GQ interview of Andre 3000, that he had sometime last year. And he was saying the thing with hip hop is hip hop is a youth sport. It's a young blood's game.
Uh-huh.
And you can hop, but you will not always be hip. His argument was at some point you will cease
to be relevant.
Yes. So.
Okay.
Bringing it back to what she's saying. Is this just what, as we've said, it's a youth sport. Mm-hmm. Is this then just a reflection of the times?
Most definitely it is. Most definitely, because they are speaking to their audience and their audience is consuming what they're producing.
And they love it.
And they love it. So the fact that it is moving so many units means that that's definitely what the status quo is.
Which then means, which begs the question. So if I'm going to sound real out here in Africa, mm-hmm. do you think I'll be able to make an impact, or it's just going to be...
See, define real, because real is perspective, right? You're real in which context, to who, and is there a captive audience big enough to make you blow up?
Yeah,
you see what I mean. So you could be coming at it on some mad rapper hustle, yeah, you know, fuck the West and fuck white people, and
yeah,
you know, you could come at it from some serious right wing.
Yeah.
Black militant vibe. And hey, presto, there's a lot of angry people too who are like, yeah, I fucks with this.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, maybe there's no one who actually feels that way.
Yeah.
And you'll be that guy who has like, I'd say someone like, you know what, without being bashed by anyone, Immortal Tech.
Yeah.
Immortal Tech was an angry dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a conscious dude, but he was angry as fuck, which made consuming his content difficult.
Yeah.
Right. And as much as he's celebrated in some circles, there's a lot of people who don't know who the fuck he is.
True.
Right. True. So you could be that guy.
I have a song I like.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I have one song. It's about a girl, right? She got AIDS or something.
No, that's not the one.
Not that one.
That's not the one.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, the point is that
he murders his mom without even knowing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. You see, like.
Yeah, but that was deep though. I vibe with that.
Hey. But this is my point, that you can, I mean, in this day and age with the internet, you can reach a lot more people.
Yeah.
Who resonate with what you do, you know, in the age of hashtags and meta tags and all of that.
Yeah.
It can be done, but. I think there's a lot of luck that goes into how people blow up, to be honest.
Right. There's no fixed formula.
There's no fixed formula, because if you break it down, you look at how
how J. Cole is still relevant.
Yeah.
Look at how K. Dot's been killing it despite how
and someone who's
unconventional his work is.
He's still pushing it out and people are still consuming it. I mean, J. Cole had no features and he did what, 800 in the first week, and everyone's like, wait, what? And then the other guys have like, and no features, conscious.
True.
Right. He's like on some proper hip hop tip.
Yeah.
And he's pushing 700K in the first week. And someone like, I don't know, Fiddy or whoever is doing like 400, 350. So.
I guess in a way, people will always resonate with a real story. Like, in a way, you'd still want,
but
the
that's
to kind of mirror your life somehow, or at least explain or help you deal with your environment in some way.
Okay, that speaks more to the dot-com age, I think, because with reality TV and reality everything else, we really want to be inside your life, inside your house.
Yeah.
And that is where the realness comes into play.
You said the dot-com age? Are we the dot-com age?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a better term for it, but what I mean by that is that everything is digital now,
right?
Your life is digital, right? Your relationships with your family. Let's look at all of these Real Housewives of what and what.
Right. Everything is digital. People have a shorter attention span.
People's interpersonal relations are out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's formulating how people, or the younger generation interacts with each other, because they're basing it on what they see on TV.
Yeah.
We grew up on the Cosbys.
True.
Right.
That something was the, wholesome.
Yeah, that was a wholesome, that was the
right.
wholesome family environment.
You're right. You're
we,
right.
you know, wearing Argyle sweaters and chinos.
Fast forward.
And now it's like, I'm going to my room. And they try that on for size, and the parents are like, yeah, okay, whatever. Just go.
Yeah.
And that becomes the thing. Like, people don't eat together. If they're eating together, they're on their phones, they're on their iPads.
There is some disintegration.
There's a proper disintegration and a serious disconnect. So it all filters through, because we are what we consume.
So it comes back to the music.
It's everything, dude. Because the music is no longer just the music.
Yeah.
It's the lifestyle.
True.
You see?
Ah.
It's the lifestyle. It's not just what you're listening to, but how he lives is what you're also resonating to. To be like, okay, I want to be rocking, I don't know, steel toe Adidas or whatever it is. They buy into that to that point where they live that person. Remember when Weezy was doing a milli? Everyone was wearing snapbacks and big t-shirts.
It had a huge impact.
Yeah. So
you think, I actually wanted to find out from you, like locally, is there anyone who's rubbing you the right way right now?
In hip hop?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Or just?
Okay.
Nobody?
No. Hold on. There's,
cause I'm loving Takura right now.
So Takura, right?
Yeah.
I've had that stripped EP on replay, repeat,
so Takura is the man.
but there's a girl he features on one of his tracks.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Ayari or something. Oh yeah. Gosh.
She killed it.
I hope they do a video for it and I hope they do it properly because, yeah.
It's lit.
Yeah.
Money too, man. I'm vibing with Talk Money.
Talk Money, yeah. Talk Money. You always have that. You know that between okay, Talk Money or what's his name? Mike Pimp.
Talk Money.
For you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You take Mike Pimp?
No. I'm just checking. Yeah. To be honest, I haven't been exposed to enough of Talk Money stuff to make
that decision.
Yeah.
All right.
But I have been exposed to Mike Pimp stuff and I'm like, okay.
This is dope.
I feel you, but.
And it's the same for me. I haven't even been exposed to much of Mike Pimp.
Yeah.
For me to say, well, Mike Pimp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else is on the come up? I mean, you're plugged in. I'm.
Hey, bro. I'm
pseudo
old.
Corporate
I'm old.
Now, so.
I'm old. I'm not really plugged in. But yeah. I just know a couple of things.
Yeah?
Yeah, a couple of things. But fast forward, fam.
Okay.
Fast forward, fam.
You don't want to give your 2 cents on the 2 cent rappers out here. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad.
Fast forward, fam. Celebrity story.
Celebrity story.
We have come to the last segment of the show. And Tamuka is going to give us a celebrity story.
Okay.
What you got for me, man?
So I always believed I'd never be starstruck.
Yeah.
And generally that's been true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stages where you can stunt and be like, nah, whatever. Right. Yeah. But I was in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
For the Queen's Plate. It's this big horse race, whatever.
Yeah.
And Minnie Dlamini was Ooh. There before she became Mrs. Jones or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude. So I'm there chilling, back VIP, whatever.
Yeah, I saw them pictures. Yeah. You're looking quite dapper. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, I heard about what was going on there. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be the guy who looks like he thugged a ticket from somewhere. I must belong also. So and she's walking towards us and I have my camera. So I'm thinking, camera or just what's up?
Yeah.
And she steps up and I'm like, hi, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, hi. Are you a photographer? I'm like, it's more of a hobby, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The whole time she's talking, I'm looking at her lips move thinking, oh my gosh, look at this woman. She had this big hat.
Yeah.
So you kind of were forced to look under it to check her.
Yeah.
And then she had this
Did you at that point think you're going to take her home?
Oh, hell no.
Have her bake you muffins? Make her some spaghetti and some salsa and some nyamane muriro.
As big as my ego reportedly is, I was humbled.
Wow.
I was humbled. I don't know. True story. She was talking, I was looking, and luckily the guy
was. Why is it pindure a bunch?
I went I pindura, but you know where you played back after she's left and you're thinking, shit, that was so corny. Like I really could have said something else.
Yeah, I know.
I could have actually engaged her, you know, cerebrum at some stage.
I'm a funny guy. I'm a fun guy. You know,
I have people laughing at something.
I could have done this.
She's there like, okay, so it was nice to meet you. And, you know, she's walking away and I'm thinking, wait, but can I get a photo though? I couldn't even get a photo.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah, my pride wouldn't let me do it. I was like, you know what? You fucked up enough. So for you to get into the fan moment.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, that actually made it worse because now I had a camera and I didn't take her photo. So now I'm like a
and
poser.
She's mini Tamini.
Yes. And now I'm like a poser. Like I was just there rocking around with my camera, not taking photos of anybody type thing. Yeah. No.
Man.
That was my starstruck celebrity moment.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I have better stories than that one, but.
I know.
Yeah.
You told me about the Tebow touches. Yeah. I didn't want that. I didn't want the swag.
I know. I mean, it's because the swag, you know.
Nah, fam. I don't want the swag.
So in essence,
keep the swag.
In essence, you're just trying to make me look bad. That's
no,
it,
absolutely not. I'm trying to make you look human because that's real.
Hey. Okay. Okay.
Nah, but thank you so much,
fam. I'm sitting down and I'm humble.
It was so good having you on, Tamuga.
No, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.
Do you think you're going to be managing any groups anytime soon?
No.
Because MMT was so, so dope. I enjoyed the heist that y'all guys reached.
You know what? Like, I poured my soul into that.
Yeah.
And when things fell apart for various reasons, it broke me.
All right. Are you guys still good?
We're still good, you know. We hang out.
That's good. That's good. That's
I was
good.
Actually with Tata in the club last week.
That's great.
But as far as pushing
the business
the
side is
to,
the business
together,
side is concerned.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, you can hit me up if you want some PR. You know, I could hook you up.
All right.
You know, I'm plugged in that. But actually managing individuals, nah, I think
not
I'm
anymore.
Over it now.
I You're really, in a different space.
I really have to believe that we're on the same page.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, cause I think a lot of times you become friends.
Yeah.
And then that affects how you do business.
That's true.
Right.
Cause there's a limit to how you can handle each other.
That's the thing. Like, you know,
even the respect factor.
Some of the greatest partnerships fell apart because people just got too close.
Yeah.
And like Damon J, for example, there's countless, examples and, I'm glad that we could still be friends.
Even after.
But I'm at odds with the fact that I no longer want to manage people because of that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. But, hey, fam. Either way, y'all really contributed big time to the movement. So we respect that.
No, and
it was really good having you, fam.
Thank you very much.
So
appreciate the respect and the respect is mutual, you know.
Yeah.
You've been
you.
Doing, you know, you hyping me up with your intro and stuff. You've been doing stuff and all that.
Thank you, fam.
Low
Thank
key
you, fam.
Checking. I'm like, okay.
Thank you,
I
fam.
See. You know, you just keep changing your name though. But since we're on the subject, when is Depth coming back to the mic?
I was asked this the other day.
Yes.
Depth will come back at some point.
You know,
I've got something in the works.
Yeah.
Something very different. I think in order for Depth to come out, it has to be worth it, and lately I haven't been feeling that way, but I think this new project that I'm working on is worth it, so that's yeah, you're gonna get some depth.
So you're kind of shallow right now.
Right now I'm shallow. But I'm coming back.
Yeah, man.
Oh, all right, fam. It's
thanks a lot.
Peace
out. And now, Capital 263.